So if you will repeat after me, say, Lord Jesus,
I have eyes that see.
I have ears that hear.
And my heart is perceiving.
This word is for me.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 10.
Chapter what?
10.
Thank you.
Hebrews chapter 10. I'm using the Amplified. I've read this quite a few times today. And I can't say there's one area that's greater than another. There are many corners in this chapter that are very, let's say, important. And I don't know how far we're going to go. All I know is we're going to start at verse 1. Maybe we can look at chapter 11, verse 1 before we go any further, because that's what I'm hearing. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. The amplification is really pushing buttons on that word, and you're going to see through chapter 10 that what has been done for us through Jesus and his body has been something that he lived his 33 years doing what he was pressed to do. Do we comprehend his lifestyle, the situations that he lived through? There's very little evidence of what he went through in the Word. For me, I've shared with John and others that the Holy Spirit showed me that if you look at what King David went through, it would help to comprehend why Jesus was called the Son of David. Because David was really ostracized, forgotten in the field with the animals. And I believe his father thought of him in the same way as he did his sheep. Just another little, you know, sheep in the woods. So that might help to recognize that one will have a privileged lifestyle, another one has a very difficult lifestyle. I can't fully relate to John in all the areas that he and his wife and family have gone through. But what I can say is we're going to continue holding with you. So verse 1. For since the law has merely a rude outline, foreshadowing of the good things to come, instead of fully expressing those things, it can never, by offering the same sacrifice continually, year after year, make perfect those who approach its altar. Now you remember, Holy Spirit is writing this to the Hebrews. The Hebrews are accustomed, they have a circle of a year, and they go around it, and the priesthood is doing offerings on a regular basis as ordained by the Old Covenant. So you've got to keep that in mind when, you know, I believe it's St. Paul that's writing, but that's my opinion. Verse 2, for were it otherwise, would these sacrifices not have stopped being offered? Since the worshiper had once and for all been cleansed, and they would no longer have any guilt or consciousness of sin. Well, the guilt and the consciousness of sin was never dealt with because it was never a perfect sacrifice. It was animal blood. Verse 3, but as it is, These sacrifices annually bring a fresh remembrance of sins to be atoned for. That's the Day of Atonement. Because the blood of bulls and the goats is powerless to take away sin. Hence, when he, Christ, entered into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but instead you have made ready a body for me to offer." That hit me pretty hard. Our Savior was aware that his body was growing, and I had a flashback of Peggy's vision on Sunday, the cup. As I read this, I read it three times. I was in the NIV, but it's the same message. I went to the Amplified, it's the same message. And I kept hearing the word, "made ready a body for me to offer." And if you have a mental awareness of the visitation that Mary received from the Holy Spirit, she was impregnated with the blood or the seed or sperm, and you'll find that in 1 Peter, was from the Father. So you have an awareness here that the blood that was in Jesus' veins as he was growing was also multiplying. And as I kept thinking about this, and I kept saying, "God, how do you figure?" He said, "How many thousands were fed with a couple of fish? Is it too difficult for me to multiply my blood in his body?" And I said, "Obviously not, because for the Lord to multiply and feed thousands with the blood, with the fish and the breads, it was not a problem." So now I'm thinking about our Savior's awareness of his body growing, of the blood in his veins increasing. As his body grew, the blood increased. Verse 6, "In burnt offerings and sin offerings, you have taken no delight. Then I said, 'Lo, here I am, come to do your will, O God, to fulfill what is written of me in the volume of the books,'" or book. Confirmation, Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. That's another piece to the puzzle that I know is working on me. Every time I declare that promise that was given to us by Holy Spirit back in July through our sister in Christ, there's an awareness of the books. There's an awareness of what's been written about us, about who we are in Christ, how our whole being is under a multiplication process. We're getting rid of the old, but we're also increasing in more of him. I believe, truly, each time we take Holy Communion, that there's more of him multiplying in us, each and every one of us, if we just take time to pay attention. And sometimes we're so focused on our pain or our problem that we don't conceive that, and I confess that happens to me. I go to the table and I'm thinking about this one and I'm thinking about that one, and I'm not thinking about the increase that's actually manifesting. I'm not aware of it. But this is what I was getting, is there is a multiplication happening. He is preparing his body in us. Verse 8, "When he said just before, 'You have neither desired nor have you taken delight in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, all of which are offered according to the law.'" So the priesthood of that day up until Christ was just ritual after ritual over and over. 9. He then went on to say, lo, here I am come to do your will. Thus, he does away with and annuls the first former order as a means of expiating sin, so that he might inaugurate and establish the second latter order. Psalms 40, verses 6 through 8. Again, realizing that our Savior is aware at 12 or 13, he's about his Father's business. He has a knowledge of his future. Is he fully aware that he's the Messiah? I think there's a partial understanding. He's flowing in believing. He's flowing in obedience. Verse 10. And in accordance with this will of God, we have been made holy, consecrated, and sanctified through the offering made once and for all of the body of Jesus Christ, the appointed one, the anointed one. Think about the sanctification, being made holy through that one offering. We sometimes don't comprehend that truth. I think it needs a download from Holy Ghost to make it real. Furthermore, every human priest stands at his altar of service, ministering daily, offering the same sacrifice over and over again, which never are able to strip from every side of us the sins that envelop us and take them away. Whereas this one Christ, after he had offered a single sacrifice for our sins that shall avail for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Again, this one, Christ, in parentheses, after he had offered a single sacrifice for our sins that shall avail for all time. So there's no limit in the time. It is complete satisfaction from God's point of view, but it cost him the body that he was brought up in. 13. Then to wait until his enemies should be made a stool beneath his feet. I remember Doug Fortune giving us a lesson on this subject. He did an awesome work of understanding that those feet are us. It's the body of Christ in the earth. We are unaware of how much deception that we've lived in. And I admit, I don't think we can consciously be fully conscious of all of the darkness that has invaded us through our ancestry, plus whatever things that we have already been a part of, and the darkness that's been impregnated into us in our being formed in our mother's womb. Yes, Holy Ghost comes in, but he's coming into a mess. 14. For by a single offering, he has forever completely cleansed and perfected those who are consecrated and made holy. Completely cleansed is circled in my Bible. And perfected those who are consecrated and made holy. And also the Holy Spirit adds his testimony to this in confirmation of this. For having said, this is the agreement and the testament covenant that I will set up and conclude with them after those days, says the Lord. I will imprint my laws upon their hearts, and I will inscribe them on their minds, on their inmost thoughts and understanding. You see, I don't think any of us have tasted the fullness of what this means. I really don't think so. I say some of us might have a little piece here, a little piece there. How's the head, girl?
Much better.
I guess we're going to keep you, huh? We love you. My laws upon their hearts. The imprinting is in process. I don't think, personally, that he can fully imprint something of him until the thrones of our soul are cleaned up. And that's what I see happening with different ones at different levels. Those thrones are still active under the darkness because we still fall into depression. We still fall into confusion. We fall into hurt, rejection, you name it. And I was having a little talk with my sister this afternoon, and we talked about the things we know, but they're not completed work yet. We may know something, but it's not completed in us. Our minds are still, I would say, in the washing machine. And we're on spin cycle many times. And we probably need double detergents in order to get all of this old stuff out of us. But you see, he had me in the Thrones of the Soul this afternoon, and I was studying one particular page, and he kept making me go back and read it again, read it again, read it again. Well, I know that sometimes I am stuck on one word, and he wants me stuck on a different word. All right, what is he doing? He's trying to get me to focus on what's really important, rather than maybe my emotions would be satisfied with. And the bottom line was, would you be willing to pray the prayer that this other person prayed? And I said, after reading the same thing, you know, four times, I said, Lord, I don't have that press from your spirit. He said, what do you need a press from my spirit to pray a prayer for? And I was thinking of Mary Jo. Okay? Well, why are you waiting? You know, and I said, well, I think I'm waiting for a press from you to make sure that this is what is written in my book. And I had the courage to say it. So that was a breakthrough. What's written in my book about me, I can pray for and be comfortable with, no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. Yes or no?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, if it's another 10 years of garbage, then so be it. But give me the grace to go through it. Because I might get very discouraged in those 10 more years. Although, that was not what was happening. Because the person I was reading about had an incredible ministry. And he wants me, I'm aware now, because I'm pondering, and he says, can't you see you're looking at someone else has greater value in me than you believe about yourself? Okay, now we're down to believing about me, which is hot water, okay? And I mean, I'm like the frog, I like to play in warm water, but then the heat goes up.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, he wants to cook my flesh. I know that part. I've been in there several times, so I know that's the ultimate goal. Okay? And he wants my spirit fully alive and fully full of his blood, not mine. His blood had the power to go forward and come out of the grave. That's my future. Whoops. That was cool. Did you hear him? Did you hear him? Fourteen. For by a single offering he has forever completely cleansed and perfected me. Those who are consecrated and made holy. Did you get it?
Yes.
Say it with me. For by a single offering,
for by a single offering,
he has forever completely cleansed
and perfected
me
and consecrated me
and made me holy. Digest it, soul.
Amen.
Amen.
See, digesting the truth has to have a choice. Otherwise, it's for somebody else. Amen. Oh, if he wants to bless Sammy, he wants to bless anybody. I don't care what the name is. Oh, I'm ready. But as soon as he says, I'm going to bless you, I have a whole different challenge. Why? It says, love one another as I have loved you. Well, yeah, it's easy to love them, but I'm still having a hard time loving me.
Amen.
That's not going to last forever. Praise God. Are you ready now? And 15. Also, the Holy Spirit adds his testimony to us in confirmation of this. For having said, this is the agreement, testament, covenant that I will set up. Do you think he's doing it? All right. And conclude with them after those days, says the Lord, I will imprint my laws upon their hearts, and I will inscribe them on their minds, on their inmost thoughts and understanding. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I'm ready for the next surgery.
I'm ready for the next surgery.
This is an agreement.
This is an agreement.
It's part of the testament.
It's part of the testament.
And the covenant. That you made with us.
That I will set up.
And conclude with them.
And me.
After those days.
Says the Lord.
I will imprint
my laws
upon my heart. And I will inscribe.
Says the Lord.
On their minds. On their inmost thoughts. And on my understanding. It's going to happen because of He doing it. Not me doing it.
He doing it.
The responsibility is on him.
Just put your right hand over your heart right now. Say, this agreement is for me.
This agreement is for me.
I am part of the new covenant. And you are setting me up. And I can see it. I will receive those imprints of your laws.
Which are much higher than these laws that I've lived under.
And upon my heart.
And you will inscribe.
Them into my mind and into my inmost thoughts.
Including my understanding.
By choice, I want it all. Because I know your grace will carry me to the finish line. That settles it.
So take that, Satan.
Well, you better speak to our soul, too, because our soul doesn't always want to receive.
True.
17. He then goes on to say, and their sins and their law-breaking I will remember
no more.
We do part-time. When we had a good day, wow, you feel good about yourself. When you had a bad day, you start wondering, I wonder if he really loves me. Say, he's not going to remember my sins.
He's not going to remember my sins.
I need to remember them no more. That's a choice I need to make. And I'm making it now.
And I'm making it now.
18, where there is absolute remission, forgiveness, and cancellation of the penalty. Oh, really? Of these sins and law-breaking, there is no longer any offering made to atone for sin. Okay, so now we're dealing with... Huh?
Sorry, once and for all.
Once and for all. It's a good word. We need that. Mm-hmm. There is absolute remission, forgiveness, and cancellation of the penalty. Now, let's say I am conscious of what I've done when I was a kid and had no knowledge. And the accuser's been on my case. And I'll relate this to something that happened to me when I was a boy. And it took approximately 50 years for God to be able to clean that up out of my soul. Okay? And what he did is he allowed one of my grandsons to cross the room when I was in deep thought and the accuser was accusing me. And he said, "Would you accuse that boy of what you believe about yourself?" And I responded very quickly, "Never. Never. He's only a child." He said, "Then why are you still complaining to me about how ugly or bad or soiled or whatever you believe about yourself, that you still believe this? It's got to stop." And I felt the tears come out. They came automatically, okay? They don't need a turn on or off, they just happen. My little one went up, he disappeared, and I started to weep. And I said, "Father, for the first time, I'm now understanding what you're trying to tell me. There's no more condemnation." Why? Because all that accusation is part of the darkness that is pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding. Mm-hmm. And you haven't been able to put it out of business until tonight. Now, you're going to have to remember this moment. And he was right. I remember that moment. I still see it. Okay? That little one was not guilty. But I was holding myself accountable for something that someone else did. Do you hear me? When I say this, it's because you need to be aware the accuser uses tools, but he lies with them. He uses tools to lie and to put you on a guilt complex, to put you into an unbelief area. And when he does that, he is so art-filled. He's an artist, but he's a good artist. And in fact, okay, Lord, this is not going to be what I expected. What else is new? Last night, my body was tired, and I went on not Zulu or one of those things that they have movies. And I'm looking at, I just want to just rest, okay? None of you guys ever do that. Okay? So I'm looking at all these titles, and I see this one, and it says, it's a series on this particular network, and the name of the series is Lucifer, Lucifer Morningstar. And I thought, well, that should be interesting to watch. It'll get me out of myself, right? So it's a story about now. And Netflix, I think it was on. Okay? So it's very attractive young man. He's driving a beautiful sports car. And he's traveling. And all of a sudden, the police guy comes in the back, right? With the siren and the motorcycle. Pulls him over. He says, "Where are you going?" "Oh," he says, "I'm just having fun. I was just having fun." "Don't you ever have any fun?" And the officer says, "Not in this game." "Well," he says, "you know," he says, "let me have your driver's license. and your registration. So here's the officer pushing, and the guy, Lucifer, puts his hand in his pocket, pulls out a wad of bills, and he starts rolling out, you know, one bill after the next one. And he's got like four or five in his hand. And he says to the officer, you know, and the officer says, "Are you trying to bribe me?" Oh, he says, "Absolutely not." He says, "I know you work overtime, but I'd like to bonus you something." And so the officer says, "I can't take that. I can't take that." So Lucifer says to him, "Look, I know that you might have these thoughts once in a while. That, you know, that motorcycle needs to be revved in a little bit and make sure you get all the carbon out of it." Oh, he says, "Yeah." He says, "I do that once in a while." Well, he says, "That's why you have to buy extra gas. You don't report it to your boss. Here, you can have some extra dough." And he teases him on another level. And of course, the officer takes the money. And he speeds off. So obviously now I'm catching on and I'm saying, "Lord, this is really a true story. It really is a true story. That's how the enemy works. He uses something about you and your past to accuse you and to keep you guilty so that he can use you and abuse you on the next level, even to the form of actually blackmailing someone." And I said, "Whoa, this is definitely a godly movie." So now, well, it depends. It depends on your state of mind. Because I'm looking at the enemy and what he's done to me. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking at. Now, the show is, there's a beautiful girl, and there's a murder, and I mean, you know. And of course, Lucifer is one of those instigators, and he's involved in all this. So he's investigating. And the lady that's the lady head investigator has a secret. He says, "I know what you did." Because she says to him, "I want you out of here." Oh, he says, "But that was my friend, Delilah, that got killed." So Delilah, of course, is, you know, Samson's girlfriend. I mean, yeah. You know, we know all this. So anybody who's got those pictures, I mean, they're using names and they're using a truth to drag you into a wonderful story. So now the girl is the investigator says to them, "Look, I've had it with you. I don't want you around." He said, "Come on, girl. I've seen your picture on the internet. You were just 12 years old and you were flashing." Oh, she says, "Oh my God." And so the story goes on, and I'm not interested in that. I am looking at what he's doing. He's got an inroad on every one of the victims. And he's actually getting away with it.
It's soul strategies. Soul strategy.
Soul strategy. You're right. Now, take a look at you and me. Take a look at this word. Do I believe the word, or do I believe what I believed for 20 years, 40 years, 60 years, 80 years, whatever the number? What do you really believe? All right? Do I really believe that there is absolutely a full remission and forgiveness and cancellation of the penalty of my behavior? See, that cancellation says I am not guilty, even when I was guilty, because I've already confessed it and he's forgotten it. But the enemy says, "Oh, but don't you remember? You did that, and you did this, and you did that." So I shut down the movie. I think I maybe watched 20 minutes, and I said to the Lord, "What about a young man or a young woman that's watching this program? Okay? What is that person?" And he's introducing himself as Lucifer Morningstar. That's his last name. Okay? He's not lying. And the beginning of the movie, it says, and he is a angel. Which he is. You know, he's a son. Also, because there's even a reference to that. So they're using scripture in reverse to snap in a few people, or probably a lot of people. What am I saying? We are ordained of God to awaken to the truth, not to be deceived, but to open ourselves up and to realize every weakness that we have, He knows about, because He can read. And besides, you've got to remember, the demons that have used us and are sitting on the thrones of our soul communicate. They really do communicate. So, I want to just take a couple more minutes. I want to go to verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have full freedom and confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies by the power and virtue in the blood of Jesus. Remember when I said to you about when people are not aware of the power of the blood, they're losing so much of the potential. And that was one of the things that I believe we need to comprehend, why He shed His blood, why that blood was in that cup on Sunday. 20. By this fresh, new, and living way, which He initiated and dedicated and opened for us through the separating curtain veil of the Holy of Holies, that is, through His flesh, His body. And since we have such a great and wonderful and noble priest who rules over the house of God, let us all come forward and draw near with true, honest, and sincere hearts in unqualified assurance and absolute conviction engendered by faith. If you don't have a circle about that those two, three words there, you need to do that. If you don't have faith, you won't be able to make it. The substance of things hoped for is going to be robbed from you by going by the natural understanding. That is, by that leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust. Well, I am not there yet. I still find absolute trust is not, I waver. I don't like it. I've asked the Lord to help. And confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness, having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilty, evil conscience. That's what Lucifer was doing in the movie. He was using their weakness to get them to become weaker yet on every level, including having the investigator now becoming his friend. That was the end result of what I couldn't go no more. I said, Lord, I've had enough now. You know, and like I said, 20 minutes was sufficient. And it was really God showing me, look, it's happening right there in black and white. And people of all ages are watching this. And they are going to enjoy it.
They're living it.
Huh?
They're living it.
They're living it. But you know, I was watching from a different pair of eyes. Amen. And I was very grateful that I did listen to it. Yeah. Because what it was doing is it was confirming the strategy of darkness. And when we see the strategy of darkness, we can then put up a stink. Because see, the tools are in this chapter. Amen. The tools are there for us to use. And if we just make believe that it's for somebody else, wrong. It's for all of us. Okay. I'm going to back it up a little bit. Verse 22. Let us all come forward, draw near with true, honest, and sincere hearts, in unqualified assurance, that's heavy, Lord, and absolute conviction, engendered by faith, that is, by that leaning of the entire human personality on God. Not much room for souls there, right? In absolute trust and confidence in His power, His wisdom, and His goodness, having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilty, evil conscience, and with our bodies cleansed with pure water, living water. That's that river of life that He wants us to be sitting under. That waterfall of living water that cleanses us and cleanses our bodies. So let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering. I wish you didn't put wavering in there, because that's what is the sneaky little trick from darkness. Without wavering, the hope we cherish and confess, and our acknowledgement of it. For He who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to His word. And let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activity. Not forsaking the neglecting of our assembly. Sorry. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as in the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, and urging and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. This was done 2,000 years ago. But our God says through Peter, one day is as 1,000 years, so it's only the third day starting. Keeping us in mind, I'd like again to have you put your hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
There's a lot of work here.
There's a lot of work here.
And I sometimes get tired. I know my heart has been sprinkled.
I know my heart has been sprinkled.
And purified.
And purified.
From all guilt.
From all guilt.
And an evil conscience.
And an evil conscience.
And with our bodies cleansed.
And with our bodies cleansed.
With pure water.
With pure water.
I want to seize and hold fast.
I want to seize and hold fast.
Without wavering.
Without wavering.
And hope.
And hope.
We cherish and confess.
We cherish and confess.
And our acknowledgement of it.
And our acknowledgement of it.
For He who promised is reliable.
For He who promised is reliable.
He is also sure.
He is also sure.
And faithful.
And faithful.
To His word.
To His word.
I will not neglect.
I will not neglect.
Assembling together.
Assembling together.
With the believers.
With the believers.
So that I can have warning.
So that I can have warning.
Urging, encouraging one another.
Urging, encouraging one another.
And more faithfully as we see the day approaching.
And more faithfully as we see the day approaching.
Let my heart now
receive these words.
And the fruits of these words.
And the fruits of these words.
Because I want to go forward, Lord.
Because I want to go forward.
That's a choice I made a long time ago. Even if it's difficult.
Even if it's difficult.
Or not understood.
Or not understood.
Let me have a peek about my book.
Let me have a peek about my book.
That's written.
That's written.
In the heavens.
In the heavens.
That would help.
That would help.
It would help those that don't understand.
It would help those that don't understand.
Why they still feel guilt.
Why they still feel guilty.
Or hurt.
Or hurt.
Or rejected.
Or rejected.
Even by God.
Even by God.
Let me have grace now.
Let me have grace now.
And I release that grace.
And I release that grace.
Into my heart.
Into
into my heart.
So that I can go forward. At least for 24 more hours. I give you praise. For those that are outside of the church. That you've got a plan for them. Let them be brought in as you see fit. And heal them. Like you're healing me. Thank you, Lord. Those that have hurt me.
Rejected me.
Abused me. I purpose to set them free. Holding no sin against them. In Jesus' name.
I pray.